Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Good evening. So good to be on this call with Kelly, Lynn, Fox, and Kara.
Hi. Kara, Lynn, too.
We appreciate that because we know what time it is in New York. You really should be in bed if I was going to do your message. Getting your rest, but we're so happy you're with us. It's great.
So I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
We talked last week. We introduced our step number, what step are we on, Kelly?
Nine.
12?
Nine.
Step number. And that is intentions. And so we had a great month talking about possibilities and taking opportunities in our lives to explore possibilities and jumping out of airplanes and going on and just all the things that we did in terms of just grabbing a hold of the possibilities in our life. And when we do that, when we are filled with that concept of possibilities, it's a real opportunity to filter those through our intentions. And intentions, when we create intentions that fill our life with focus and practice, and we just achieve so many things in our nature with integrity because we are focused on our intentions, not expectations of ourselves or expectations from others of ourselves. So last week, Kelly and I kind of explored the difference between expectations and intention. And so we to kind of look at that, and we just welcome Kara to join in as well, how she sees her life has changed and her journey has more focus and more integrity because of intentions versus expectations, and just really being true to ourselves. So I'm going to open it up for any comments and insights from Kelly and Kara concerning the whole realm of intentions versus expectations, or intentions that lead to focus, or however you'd like to share your insights from this past week.
That's a good question.
That's why she gets paid the big bucks. I don't know if I've been thinking of exactly that way, but I've just been trying to stay focused with, continuing to be open to possibilities and really see, getting down to the nitty gritty of what is important to me, what do I really need in my life and around me. Because Jay and I are we have this, big step in front of us of a new job and possibly a new location. And what is it that we really need or that we really want? And I've been working a lot with him and getting focused on that. And so that's kind of where my focus has been. I haven't really, other than my intention that I have all the time, which is that I'm willing to trust myself, I haven't really focused on any specific intentions yet because we're still kind of gathering information and getting clear on what it is that we want. That's what we've been doing the last couple of weeks.
Right. So if you could put that process that you just explained into an intention, what would it sound like?
I guess it would be that we are willing to stay open to the possibilities and true to our core needs for our family and ourselves.
Great. And that's awesome. And so have you defined those core needs?
Yeah, we have.
So
do
then
you want those?
you focus. So your focus is to stay open to possibilities that support those core needs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just taking notes here so that I can come back to that.
Hold me accountable.
I didn't say that. What? Can you share share a couple of those core needs just to help us with clarity in terms of what those might be?
Well, with his job, it has to be a W-2 type of job. We don't do well with contract work. And then with we want to be able to live within a short commute distance, 30 minutes or less, of where he's going to work. And then we want good schools for the kids. We want there to be, you know, we want it to be a big enough town where there's possibilities and opportunities for the kids to do the things that they like, those sort of things.
So that kind of clarity within your intention, built within your intention, will then in turn help you to focus and stay true to that integrity so that you can actually, Rhonda talks about becoming a magnet for success when you're clear on your intention. So that whole concept of what we think about, what we put out to the universe, what we clarify and around what we want is what we'll get, then that kind of an intention is going to support you in your future needs for your family and also in terms of Jay's job. So I think that's very clear and a good example for our listeners of both of many of these steps that we've talked about, the awareness, the willingness, the focus, the commitment, you know, surrendering to the possibilities and then being clear on your intentions and having compassion for yourself and kindness for yourself as you move through this process. So that intention, that overall intention, and then now you really were able to speak to a specific intention, not only a specific intention, but the core needs that support that intention. So I would say awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you
farther
have
along
that.
Than I thought. I said I'm farther along than I thought.
Yeah, so is that a great acknowledgement? Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you know, a gratitude built in there as well for that awareness. Super. Kara, what have you got to add to the discussion?
Well, I'm listening to this and I'm going, did I set an intention recently? If I have to wonder about it, I probably did not. So I'm thinking about, you know, the way the last bunch of weeks have been unfolding and there's been a lot of different things going on and a lot of situations that I'm dealing with. And I think even in the last week, I think there's been more of a focus for me to be willing to practice compassion for myself. In as many ways as I can, whether it seems like little ways or bigger ways, and being very gentle with myself as I kind of work through some things that are happening for me right now. And I actually think I'm going to write that down because I know, like, in the midst of different things that go on and when fear is coming up and everything, it can be easy to forget the intention and shift into the expectations. And I've caught myself doing that a couple of times this week. So I am writing that down as we speak, actually.
Excellent. So in terms of what Kelly just shared with us, if your intention is to have compassion and be kind to yourself, what are some proactive behaviors or steps that you can actually even put underneath that intention that will support it?
Well, one of the things I've been doing for the last, I guess almost a week now, is making a point to do acknowledgments before I get into bed every night. And that supports me because I realize that I am doing more than I either know that I'm doing or that I give myself credit for. And that allows me to have some compassion for myself. As Kelly was talking and I was listening, the question that kept coming up for me in my own head was, and I don't remember where I heard this exactly, but somebody talked about asking themselves what they need, like in any given moment. And it just kind of popped into my head, and I thought that would actually be a really good question, you know, for me to practice asking myself to kind of cut through, like, the expectations or the fear, like, you know, what do I need right now? And really tune into that and focus, as you were saying before.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That's good. I think that will really, again, just both of those, focusing on what you have done, the small baby steps, as well as the, you know, we call them stretch risks and dice,
mm-hmm.
that you've actually taken and acknowledged yourself for those. And then also that idea of asking yourself in the moment, what is it that I need to support myself to be compassionate and kind?
Mm-hmm.
And then focus on that as well. I was reading an article today in my Toastmasters magazine about mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading that, and it was about being a mindful leader and leading yourself first, which made me think of fearless living, being able to be a leader of your own journey, you know, leading your own journey. And it talked about taking time to listen to yourself breathe and be still. And for me, in my nature, which is kind of bombastic, when I've been with my mentor, when I was going through the program, she used to just almost yell at me to say, "Will you be quiet and be still?" And so when I read this article, I was thinking, oh, this is really speaking to me and resonating with me, because these leaders would take 10 minutes twice a day just to sit and be still and to focus on their breathing and then just be open to thoughts, open to feelings, open to insights, inspiration, revelation, whatever you want to call it. And it allowed them to be in touch with their own, you know, their own individual, what they needed, as well as just as they then acted upon those things, they became the kind of leader that brought peace to the whole organization. And the rest of the people kept, you know, the other people would say, "What are you doing? You know, you've really changed your ability to be compassionate, to be kind, to be open, to surrender to the process." And so I thought, wow, I'm going to try that in my intention, is to actually, and I'll just have to be honest, I'm going to start with 5-minute increments, not 10. You know, 10 minutes sounds like an eon to me. So I'm going to start with twice a day, having the intention of just listening and being still, and see what that does with my capacity to have compassion, because compassion is my essential nature. So it's what I deny myself the most. Mm-hmm. And that compassion and kindness for myself then will be able to be shared with others once I can really lead myself through that process. So when you said that really resonated with me, because when I'm taking that time to be still and focus on my own breathing and being mindful of my own, you know, my own needs, my own soul, my own spirit, whatever you want to call it, and just be mindful of what it's telling me, or what the universe is telling me, what the Holy Spirit is telling me, again, whatever you want to call it, and listen and be still and just see if that won't make a difference in my capacity to have that intention of compassion for myself. And then I see that going out to others once I can lead myself through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that, of course, I always think things happen for a reason. That article came, that magazine came today, and that article spoke to me, because it really has to do with an intention of improving on my own leadership, which is from this article. And I think from what I've learned in Fearless Living is that we have to lead ourselves first, and we have to love ourselves first. And once we know ourselves, which Fearless Living helps us to know ourselves, then that can come from us, it can spill out of us and affect the people that we love and the people that we work with. So I thank you for, you know, kind of really strengthened my commitment that's something I'm going to do as I work on setting intentions, is to take that time to where I am still. So I intend to be still and to listen and to follow the inspiration or insights that I gain front, to act upon those and surrender to those and see those as possibilities to be more true to my essential nature and have integrity around that as well. So that was kind of exciting to me. And then hearing both of you talk about those things just kind of really helped me go full circle to see, oh, how everything works together. And it's just amazing the way that the things we're learning work together for the betterment of our lives and then in turn the lives of those around us. So that was my big insight this week, and it happened to me today.
Well, that's cool. That sounds really good. Yeah. When you were talking about not doing the 10 minutes and doing the 5 minutes, I think it's important to be open to the things that we get inspired by that are outside the world, but to tailor them to ourselves. Because if Terry sat for 10 minutes, she'd probably fall asleep because she doesn't ever sit that long. So, tailoring it to yourself, and, making it work for you, setting yourself up, for it to be successful for you. I think that's really powerful in that you are able to, to do that and not be stuck in, oh, well, I need to do it the way that this person did it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there were a couple of, articles and books that they referred to. In this little, it was just a little two-page article, and I thought I might look at some of those, and just because I've heard a lot about mindfulness, and I think there's a whole movement out there in the self-help world around that idea of mindfulness and mindful meditation, and I've heard it before, but I've never, this article, just because it was mindful leadership, caught my eye, because that's kind of my focus in my coaching and in my workshops and my speaking is around leadership. And, of course, that means leading yourself as well as leading others. But it caught my eye. And then it was about this concept of mindfulness and mindful meditation and mindful leadership, where and the mindfulness part was more like not just being in your head, but having the intention in your head to listen and be still, that connects your heart with your head, which I'm always a head person first. So it, to me, it's a way to, when you say mindful meditation, to me, that's connecting your feelings with your thoughts and your head and your heart working synergistically to, propel you forward. So I think that whole idea of mindfulness works for me. We talk about vocabulary and how words work differently for different people and mean different things for different people. I think this is a word that resonates with me, and that's, mindfulness. And to me, it'll mean a connection between my head and my heart.
Yeah, that sounds... I think there was a thing I saw on Facebook, I think it was yesterday, and it was... it had a quote from the Dead Poets Society about not being lazy with your vocabulary, and it had all of these different words that we use all the time and an alternative word. And one of the words that I started using a long time ago, because I used to call myself lazy a lot, and I still kind of do sometimes, but my coach at the time, she's still my coach, but anyway, she took the word lazy away from me, and she told me to replace it with lively. And so I've been trying to, at that time I really, tried, but I've been trying to put that back in my idea of that I'm a lively Kelly, and what would lively Kelly do? Well, in this Facebook post, the alternative word for lively was vivacious. And my, of course, now that I'm talking about it, the word slips from my head. But anyways, my wholeness, there it is, my wholeness is passion. And vivacious sounds much more like passion-oriented. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that lively worked for me, and now I'm at a place where vivacious might be able to work for me. And it really kind of got me excited about thinking about myself in that sort of a way. And I that came up into my head because you were talking about vocabulary and words that support us. And I think I want to implement an intention that has vivacious in it.
Oh, I think that's
how
a great
I want
idea.
To. Yeah, it's how I want to kind of feel about my life right now and how I'm acting towards my life.
Well, and you are doing that, and I think you're a great example of someone who can take an idea and really run with it and make it a new part of your life. You and Kara both. I mean, I just think the way that you grabbed a hold of the opportunities of traveling together and the things that you did, and then you came home and you planned my skydiving trip that I've been wanting to do. You took the bull by the horns and you planned it, and you saw that everybody got there and that it was a gift to me. And just, I see you being vivacious and being out there seeing possibilities and taking those opportunities to see yourself differently. So I think you, if that's your intention, you are taking action and you're committed to and you are accountable to that intention. And I think that's been a really good example to me. And even when you've had some challenges that have come up, you've worked through those and been able to just move right through them. And I'm sure that there may be times that you're emotionally drained by that, but I haven't seen those times. I've just seen you working through them and coming out on the other side, still being vivacious and open to possibilities and surrendering your will to where you have no control over it, just surrendering it and going and moving on. And so you've been a really good example, and I think that I just want to acknowledge you for that and say that you've made a difference in my life and helped me to see how important it is to move on and to just stay true to your intention, have the integrity to stay true to your intention, whatever that intention might be.
Thank you.
So thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of people come up and make comments to me. Everybody has their opinion about, you know, my adventure taking. And for the most part, I've had a positive reaction to it all. But it's just, it's fun, actually, because I've been posting it on Facebook and keeping people, you know, apprised of what's going on. You know, all of my friends, you know, are just, you know, wow, you're doing this, you're doing that. I mean, some are also concerned that I might be dying or something, and I'm just doing all my bucket list items all at once. But, you know, it's a conversation starter. Like, well, you know, what are you doing in your life right now? What do you want to be doing? Look how I'm, you know, still capable to go out and do the things that I want to do. And, you know, let's do something you want to do together. You know, like since we went skydiving, I've had so many people come up and tell me, oh, I've always wanted to do that, but I was kind of scared. And I'm like, it's so not scary after the first 5 seconds. You know, let's go do it. Jay and I are trying to get Kara to come back to California so she'll skydive with us. Jay definitely wants to skydive. You know, my kids want to skydive. I mean, and it's just like, when you're going out and you're living and you're doing these things, it puts energy into your life around you, and that's the energy that I want. That's definitely the energy that I want in my life.
It's just energy.
Yeah,
and I think what's coming up for me is we're talking about this is that it also depends on surrounding yourself with people who have the same kind of energy and even passion, because I know, Kelly, when you and I were together, I mean, we had the same kind of like, hey, like, want to go to Niagara Falls now? And just, you know, getting in the car and driving for 10 hours, which is a little bit insane. But also, you know, like, to be able to do something like that and to have somebody else to kind of share the experience with really kind of, you know, makes it more fun. It makes it easier to be spontaneous. It, you know, it kind of like we kind of like build each other up on that level. So it's definitely, you know, when your mom was saying about about the impact that you've had on her life, and I feel the same way because I feel like the things that we did when we were together are not things that I normally would have done, and not in that way, you know, just taking off and doing all these trips and flying across the country a couple of times. So, you know, when you know other people who are committed to, you know, really living life and experiencing different things, it kind of helps to support you in doing it too.
Absolutely. I think that's definitely important to have people in your support system, in your Fear Buster group, whoever you want to call them, that are supporting in you moving towards this new life you're creating for yourself and these intentions that you're setting for yourself, because it's definitely easier to live in those intentions when you have people that are supporting you to live in those intentions and not trying to pull you back or hold you back or whatever.
Right.
So I totally agree with that.
Right. And they don't have to necessarily do it with you. It's just the idea of supporting
no.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's
important
because it's really, they support you in your intention and the integrity of those intentions because they believe in you. You know, they just give you that confidence. You can do whatever you want to do. You know, yeah, I was on a radio show a couple weeks ago and they were interviewing me about leadership, and I was talking about teaching for, you know, giving a little bit of my background. And so the commentator asked me, well, who gave you the courage or the influence to be a leader? And I looked back at my life and I said, well, you know, it was my grandmother, because she used to tell me that I could do and be anything that I wanted to be. Now, my grandmother would never have jumped out of a plane, or she wouldn't have done half the things I've done. But she believed that I could do whatever I wanted to do. And because she believed in me, I believed in me. And so surrounding
mm-hmm.
yourself with people that kind of support, where they believe in you and they tell you you can do it, and not only they tell you, they show you they have faith in you. And so that kind of a Fear Buster team as well, it doesn't have to go jump out of the plane with you, but that even if they're scared to death, they say, well, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, kind of like, you know, live your dreams. I'm not going to hold you back. And oh, you'll get hurt. Oh, this, oh, that. You know, just
mm-hmm.
if you want to do it, go for it. I support you. I believe that you can do anything you want to do. Do you really want to do that? Then, you know, go do it.
Mhm. Yeah, I think that's definitely important to have in our lives. I think when you have the opposite, you definitely feel the difference. And so it's so nice to have people around you that believe in you, support you, and tell you that they do. I mean, that's something that I'm very grateful for, and that's something that I definitely try to give others, because I know how much I need it and how much it supports me when I have it in my life.
Yeah, I think that's super important, is that once you realize how that affects you, then you turn around and you do that for others as well. As a mom, you do it for your kids, you do it for your siblings, you do it for your coworkers. You know, that's what you do, is you give them that confidence by believing in them as well. Well, I think that are we down to about, I'm not on the computer, so what are we down to, Kelly, in terms of time?
52 minutes and seconds.
52 seconds. Okay, so first of Kara, thank you so much for joining us. I miss you, sweetheart.
Oh,
I wish
thank you for having me again. I miss you too. I miss you both.
It won't be too
long.
You
can always come back to California.
Yes, I know.
I know. I watched the Tony Awards last night and I thought of you. Oh, I wish the Tony. We probably never would have gotten to go to the Tony Awards, but just watching the musical, thinking, oh, I could go back to New York. I could go see that. I could see that.
Anytime you want, you're welcome to come.
Oh, I'm saving my pennies. Okay. And let's just remember this week to really consider how having intention helps us to decrease self-doubt and helps us to live true to our integrity and to our essential nature. So thank you both so much for sharing, and I feel like I learned a lot, and and was able to come to some more clarifications about my own intentions, and I'll let you know next week how well I do at being still.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Go forth and be fearless. Love you.
Bye.
Love you.